The VCG podcast is sponsored by Forget-Me-Not Flowers and Gifts in Barrie, Vermont. Forget-Me-Not Flowers and Gifts is at a new location on Main Street, so check them out if you're looking for flowers or gifts for someone in your life. Welcome to Victory Condition Gaming. My name is Doug. Today on the show, I have one of my favorite people on the planet on with me. And that, of course, is Thomas Herrenstam from Free League Publishing. He's here to talk all about the new Kickstarter they've got going on. It's Vessen. I hope I pronounced that right, to Thomas. You know, like, that's a thing with my show. I don't pronounce things very well.
That's fine.
Did I get it?
Yeah, kind of. Vessen, yeah.
Or Vessen.
Yep.
Yeah,
good to be on the show.
I appreciate you taking your time to come on and be a part.
Sure.
I'm going to tell folks if you're tuning in for the first time, what I would love to do, I'd love you to do a couple things. One is to hit that subscribe button down below. I love growing this community that we have on YouTube, and I also love, you know, introducing folks to the Free League brand, because they are just doing some awesome stuff. They're one of my favorite publishers in the industry, and they're just doing some great work, and I'm so excited to be able to introduce folks to everything that they've got going on. The other thing I'm going to tell you to do is to check the Kickstarter out in the link in the description of this video. So if you're interested in anything that we're talking about, hit the link in the description, and it'll take you right to the Kickstarter, which is doing phenomenally. Thomas, you must be really excited about this Kickstarter. It's just taken off again, yet again. I mean, this is kind of a thing that you've got going on a Kickstarter.
Yeah, no, it's doing well. I always say this, but it's true every time, that you never know about these things. You always hope it's going to do well, and you prepare as best you can, but then again, you're never sure, because this is a new game, a new brand, a completely new world. So it's different from, for example, kickstarting an expansion or something, because then you already know something, you know people are already playing the game and so on. But this is a new thing, so it's always interesting. So it's been good.
Yeah, no, it's just phenomenal. Do you want to tell folks a little bit about this game? This game is based on an art book about Scandinavian folklore, and it's amazing. I have the book here. I totally forgot to bring it on with me, but it's a beautiful, beautiful book. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about the setting, about what it's about, and tell us how you came up with the idea to come up with an RPG based on this art book.
Sure. Yeah. Actually, this game has been in sort of in the works for I don't know. I think it's 4 or 5, maybe even close to 6 years now. It's the idea came up a long time ago, because the guy who made this art book that you mentioned, his name is Johan Egerkrantz, and he made this book. He released it in 2013. So it's quite a while back, and we were just starting out back then in Free League. We had released a game or two, but we didn't do games internationally back then, only in Swedish. So it was a bit of a different situation. And back then, we actually had lunch with him, and we talked to him about doing an RPG based on that book and sort of Nordic folklore. I mean, it's that book is a fact book about Nordic folklore and an art book. It's got art and descriptions and then all of these folklore, these creatures, these being, these Vesen that they're called. Some of them are common, like ghosts and stuff, but some are more specific to the Nordic tradition, for the Nordic country. So we wanted to sort of explore that and turn it into a game. So that's that. We had this idea, but it didn't quite happen back then. And then we did a lot of other stuff happened, but this idea was still always around, and it was in the back of our heads. And now, about a year ago, after Tales from the Loop, actually, we came back to this idea and for a number of different reasons. And so did a new take on the whole project and talked to Johan again. And now it's based on his art book, but he's also doing a lot of new art for the RPG. So it's sort of really going into it. And he's also very involved in the development of the game itself, because he's also a gamer. So it's been a great cooperation between us and Johan to create this game. So it's a horror game, but it's sort of gothic horror, but with a Nordic twist. It's very Sherlock Holmes, Sleepy Hollow, that kind of thing.
Nice.
We call it, directly translated, we use a term that where we call cozy horror. I don't know if that really works in English, but it's kind of a horror that kind of, it's not like Alien or it's more of a Sherlock Holmes. It's more a bit of a gothic 19th century type of horror thing, that you kind of sit in your, you know, with a fireplace and a good book and that kind of horror. So that's what we're going for in this game. So, yeah, and it's the game itself. The main part of the game is written by Nils Hintze, who did Tales from the Loop. So it's mechanically it's based on the Year Zero engine, as most of our other games. And it's closest in the way it's structured because it's written by Nils. It's closest to Tales from the Loop. So if you're familiar with Tales, you will get very quickly into this game because it's structured in a similar way.
So it's, I mean, with your Year Zero engine games, you tweak them so that they have. Oh, there we go. We have Matthew on with us as well.
Hello, Matthew.
Matthew.
He can't hear us.
Yeah, I don't think he can hear us. But you tweak a lot of these this Year Zero engine games to either be really brutal or really like kind of story-driven, puzzle-solvey kind of systems.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Vaisen, where does it fall within those two lines? That question was given to me from Phil Garrity. That's
yep. So. Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned Tales, and I think also mechanically Tales from the Loop is the closest rules-wise, and also the way the game is structured, because just like in Tales from the Loop, Vaisen is about solving mysteries. So it's, and the rules are also focused on mystery solving and also on, of course, horror and mental scars that you, it's kind of, in a horror game like this, it's a bit similar to like a Cthulhu type game where you experience these things and your characters meet these creatures and that will have permanent effects on your mental state. So the characters will sort of develop and be affected permanently or not permanently through these encounters with these beings. And that's sort of a key thing in the rules and also the mystery solving. So I guess those are the two things that we probably try to bring forward in the rules as well.
Okay. And just joining us right now, I don't know if Matthew, can you hear Hello. Us? Matthew,
yes, thank you.
My guest co-host, right. Matthew, from the Effect Podcast.
From the Effect Podcast, yes.
See what it was, Thomas, was he was delaying, he had to get the branding in place in the background.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. What it was, I've tried two blooming laptops, and now I downloaded it onto my iPad, so the sound quality is going to be a bit odd. I've only got this cheap cable for sound. But there we go.
I'm going to tell folks, if you haven't been listening to the Effect Podcast, you definitely need to go and subscribe because they're doing some great, great episodes, some great content for all around the Free League games, which is awesome. And I really, it's one of the podcasts that I listen to whenever I get a chance to at work. And you and Dave are doing some great work over there at the Effect Podcast.
Excellent. Thank you for the plug.
Absolutely.
So what have I missed?
Basically, the session's all over. We were going to sign out. And no, I'm just kidding, Matthew. I'm just kidding. No, we were just talking about the a little bit about the setting of Vaisen and, you know, just how it compares to other games that the Free League has put out. Because the one thing that I really enjoy about their games is that, especially with the Year Zero engine games, is they're all pretty similar, but they tweak them mechanically to kind of fit the setting. And we were kind of talking as to where it falls within, like, the brutality of Mutant Year Zero and Alien compared to Tales from the Loop. And Thomas was saying how it falls closer to Tales from the Loop than in that regard.
Yeah, I would say that, even though it's more sort of brutal than Tales. I mean, Tales has this thing, since you're playing kids, they cannot die and so on. In Vaisen, your character can definitely die and get mental scars for life. So it's more of a brutal system than Tales. But otherwise, mechanically, it's close to Tales, yeah.
Or Things for the Flood, then, where you get scars and then you have to get rid of the series if you get too many scars.
Yeah.
we do have one question that says from Hidden Trader. They said they haven't played Tales from the Loop. Can you describe the mechanics real quickly?
I mean, the core rules engine is really simple. It uses only D6s, six-sided dice, and it's a dice pool system. So you get a number of dice depending on your attribute and your skill level, and then you roll them all together, usually around five or six or seven dice, something like that, depending on. And you want to get sixes, and then you can push the roll to get a better result. But if you do that, you also increase the risk in some fashion. You suffer some kind of negative effect if you push the roll, or you might do that. And how exactly that works is different in each version of the engine and in each game. And that usually ties into the theme of the game. Like in Alien, pushing is related to stress. And in Year Zero, pushing is related to sort of resource management and so on. But sort of all connects to the theme.
And that brings me on to a question I wanted to ask, which is, what is the cost of pushing in Vaesen?
Oh. In Vaesen, the cost of pushing is that you suffer conditions. So it's kind of similar to Tales in that regard. So basically, if you push, you roll, you can get exhausted or angry. You get some descriptive conditions that have a mechanical effect, but also prompts for role playing. And if you suffer too many conditions, you will be permanently or at least temporarily knocked out of action in the game. And I think the difference from Tales is that instead of having just one track of conditions, there is now two, one physical in nature and one mental in nature. So that's sort of the change from Tales and Things, but otherwise it's similar.
And is there a physical, so if you've got a physical or mental, if your track's full, you've got all the conditions.
Yeah.
Is there a cost, like you might get a wound or a scar?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, exactly. You can get you get some kind of critical injury, and there are a number of those, both physical and mental. So that can have permanent or at least long-term effects on your character. Yeah.
I should tell folks that the game on Kickstarter has been fully funded. It's going towards stretch goals, just like all. Which seems to be the trend with all Free League projects at this point on Kickstarter, because you know you've built this great community online on Kickstarter, and I know I've said this before, but Free League and yourself, Thomas, and your team, they do a great job on the Kickstarter platform. You use it the way that it's built for. You keep in constant communication with folks on the updates and everything. So if anybody's looking at this and going, oh, I don't, you know, Kickstarter, you know, whenever I back something, I never hear from folks afterwards. Free League is not like that. Free League sends out updates, you know, on the regular. If there's anything going on, they keep you informed and you do a great job. One thing that that I know was a real big plus with this Kickstarter was that you say you're going to release the beta rules early part of next year, which is only a couple months away, or not even a couple months away. It's about a month.
Yeah. If possibly, not a promise, but our goal is actually to get the beta rules out to people by Christmas.
Wow.
So that's entirely possible. Layout is already underway. We're doing it in two languages again, which is always extra work. But for this game, it kind of makes sense. So we're doing one Swedish and one English version right off. And the layout of the Swedish version is well underway. I think it's more than halfway done. And then the English will follow. And the layout is similar. So the second time around, it's faster. So yeah, hopefully we can get the layout done for a beta PDF by Christmas. Or if not, then early next year. So. And then we want backers to get a chance to get that beta PDF and really dig into it and feedback on it and before we actually complete it and print and ship, which will be in the spring.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you've unlocked a whole bunch of stretch goals, just like with all the other Free League projects that I've backed, and I know if other folks have backed. You've unlocked dice, a GM screen, map, more content for the core book. You're working towards another like supplement book that you're hoping to put in print here in a little bit.
Yeah.
One of the questions we have in the chat is from Hexeter, which I know from as Jason. Jason asks, I noticed the map on Kickstarter is quite detailed. will it be using a similar style to Forbidden Lands? And that, I think that is a great question.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, not quite like that. I mean, the map is important, but not as central in gameplay as the map in Forbidden Lands, because, I mean, Forbidden Lands is a hex crawl game. The map is, like, really the key part of the game that you explore. Vesem doesn't quite work that way. The map is more sort of an inspirational tool more than an actual gameplay item. When you go to the location of the mystery that you will investigate, then you don't sort of travel on the map step by step. So it's a bit different. And the map, but still, it's an important thing because it's kind of gives you feel for the environment of the game. And of course, since this is a Nordic folklore game, the game world, we call it the Mythic North. So it's kind of Scandinavia in the mid-1800s, but it's not really, it's not super, we're not doing it to be 100% historically correct. It's more of a Sleepy Hollow type version of, okay, of the actual 1800s over here. So we take some creative liberties with what was actually happening at the time. And the idea is, even though we present this as the key, the core setting, you will, and that's also going to be a stretch goal that you can actually adapt it to play wherever you want, because maybe you want to play in your own home town in some mythical version of your own country or hometown, and then that's something we want to be make possible to do as well. It might require some tweaking, since some of the Vesen themselves are sort of Nordic in their origin, but there is usually, I mean, many of these legends and stories and are sort of, they have similar versions or just slightly different versions of these creatures in folklore in many parts of the world. So if you want to set it in the UK or in the US, or it's entirely possible to do that as well with some tweaking.
Nice. Matthew, do you have a question?
Well, yeah, I'm intrigued about this Mythic North that you talk mm-hmm. about.
Yeah.
So do we have the 18th century states of Sweden and Norway, or is it one big generalized Scandinavia?
Yeah, I mean, generally, it is, I mean, in the broad strokes, it's the historical version. So, I mean, back then there was Sweden and Norway was in the Union, and Finland was under control of Russia, and so on. So, yeah, it'll be that, but it's not really the focus of the game. I mean, there can definitely be mysteries where there is some inspiration from history or even like political events, but it's not really the key thing. So it's not a game that sort of focuses on exploring the politics of the 1800s exactly. Right, you can if you want to, but it's not really what we're going for with the game.
Sure.
And so can you help us, you know, speaking as an Englishman, and Doug is over there in America, pretty much all I know about Scandinavian folklore is Moomins. Oh, in fact, I'm wearing a Moomin shirt. So, in Finland, but in Swedish. Troll Hunter, the big movie, I think it was a Norwegian production.
Oh, yeah. That
came. It's got one English line in it that everybody quotes in the world of gaming. So I've got trolls, I've got Moomins. What else is there that might be stuff that I've heard of?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing, that even though it's Nordic folklore, I think at least maybe half or even most of the Vesen described, you would probably be pretty familiar with from just English folklore or so you have ghosts, you have different kinds of creatures that are, I guess, kind of familiar. I'm just going to look up some other ones here. Hang on, that I thought I could mention. Yeah, I mean, you have things like trolls, like you mentioned, werewolves, fairies, giants. Okay. And those are, they're in the game, but of course they're not unique to the Mythic North or to Scandinavia. But then there are others that are more specific, like the Haldra. You have the something called the Mühling and the Necken, this guy who plays the violin in Rivers. It's kind of a weird thing. So, but those, I guess you'll just have to learn about from the game then, right?
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah. Although I think I've met that guy with a violin in a game of Solomon Kane. Him, I know how to deal with.
Yeah.
or if folks want, they can also add the art book on to their pledge and right. also get some inspiration that way on all these Nordic, all this folklore that maybe they might not be as familiar with.
Sure.
One question we got from another question I got from Phil was, are there any more plans for Johan books as RPGs?
Yeah, I mean, some background there. Of course, this book is not the only one he's done. He's done quite a few, and he's done one on Norse gods, and he's done one recently on undead all over the world. And he's also done a range of dinosaur books. So I mean, we have discussed it, and we'll see. I mean, the undead thing is definitely, I mean, that kind of works, could work well with resin, because it's kind of the same. You could do just sort of expand it to a more global setting, so that's possible. Because that book has like undead creatures from basically all over the world, so that would be an interesting way to sort of expand the world. So it's been discussed, nothing decided, but yeah, it's possible.
Another question we got from the Kickstarter was, is Vaesen good for a one-shot or a longer? Are there rules for like a longer campaign? Is there any kind of experience?
I mean, it's the way it's structured, it's kind of similar to Tales in that regard as well, is that it's good for one-shots, and it's kind of... you solve one mystery at a time, and there is a system for that where you belong. You know, the characters belong to something called the society, and because they have this ability to actually see the Vaesen, which normal people can't see this creature, but the player characters can, and they belong to this kind of group, the secret society that explore, that sort of investigate the events that are connected to these creatures. So, and each scenario or each mystery kind of starts off with them getting a mission to investigate some strange, weird event in some old village off somewhere. So that's very one-shot compatible, that you play like one mystery at a time. But then we also have a system to sort of tie these together, and there is also a way to... there is some rules for developing their headquarters. They have this old castle or mansion, which is like the base for the player characters. And this mansion, kind of similar to the Stronghold in Forbidden Lands, this mansion that in Vaesen can be developed mechanically to give different bonuses to the player characters. So definitely in campaign play, you kind of develop your mansion that would sort of develop over time. And also these several of these mysteries can be connected together into larger narratives, but they're also standalone. So also kind of similar to the mysteries in the Tales core book, the four. Okay. I mean, they're all standalone, but they're also tied together in a, sure. in a campaign. So kind of like that.
Excellent. Let's just talk a little bit. I'll tell folks that if you are a retailer and you're watching this video, please check out the pledges for the retail levels on this on this campaign, because I know that's one thing that you're really trying to stress going into 2020 is to get the Free League presence a little bit more heavily in retail and brick and mortar and in hobby shops.
Yeah, that's right. It's something we're working on as best we can, is to sort of, because we feel we have a good presence on Kickstarter and online in general, but in physical stores all over the world, and not least in the US, we feel that that's something where we really could do more and do better and be more present, and also be more at conventions and events like that. So it's something we're really trying to do. And that's also the reason that in this Kickstarter and the last one, we have retailer pledges to actually connect directly to retailers by our Kickstarter, which is another way to reach out to them.
Sure. And speaking of events, I know Matthew, you're going to be at an event, and then Thomas and I are going to be at an event. Let's talk a little bit about some of the plans that Free League has coming up here shortly. I know they've got the Alien RPG launching within a few weeks.
It's being delivered, isn't it, to those that pre-ordered it.
Exactly.
And we'll be handing out to some pre-order customers when we represent Free League at Dragon Meet at the end of the month,
wow.
30th of November in London. We'll have a big box of Alien stuff to hand out there. And it's you're going to be handing out our PAX, I think, aren't you, Thomas?
That's yes. We
sorry, I had to let the cat out of the room.
Sorry.
She was complaining, so yeah. Sorry.
We were just talking about the different you've got Alien releasing to retail here in December, and it's already on its way to backers. You've got the drag Thomas and Dave from the Effect Podcast are going to be at Dragon Meet, to hand deliver backers or pre-orders to folks, and then we're also going to be at PAX Unplugged.
Yep, we will be there. You and I and Anna and John Marin and some other people will be manning the Free League booth at PAX Unplugged in Philadelphia on, what is it, 6th, 7th, and 8th of December, right?
It is, yes.
And then Dragon Meet is actually the weekend before, where you, Matthew, and Dave will be also. And then at those events, we will be, or you will be, handing out pre-order books or Alien games to people.
Yep. And selling a few, I hope, as well, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, that's the idea. And actually, they're being, like you mentioned, shipped out to everyone who pre-ordered right now. And actually, it's gone a bit quicker than we even thought ourselves. So, it's great to see that they're landing in people's mailboxes, specifically in Europe. I think in the US, fulfillment hasn't quite started yet because there are still some items on the way into the warehouse. But as soon as everything is in place, which it should be in the coming week, it should be pretty fast because all the U.S. shipments are domestic. They're sort of in the U.S., so they shouldn't take long as soon as they actually just get everything in place and get it out. So, yeah, it's hard. I mean, you would want everyone to get the game on the same day, but that's just impossible to do with so many different countries and warehouses and everything. So
sure.
There is a period of a couple of weeks now where some people will have it and some people won't. And, you know, that's just the way it is.
Generally, the people on Twitter that have it are loving it, though, aren't they?
Yes, I've heard some really great things from folks.
Yeah, I mean, mostly it's been really good. So the reception, that's great to see. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now you have one other event going on around the same time. Before we went live, you were telling me a little bit about it. It's local to your area, and it's kind of a unique, really kind of neat situation that you've got going on there. It kind of lined up perfectly. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. It's we'll see. It's just a bit of a coincidence, but we're at the same time as PAX Unplugged. There is something called Sci-Fi World. It's an event, a convention here in Stockholm. I'm not going to be there, obviously, but the Free League team will be. So we'll have three events to launch the game, pretty much Dragon Meet and PAX Unplugged and then Sci-Fi World here in Stockholm. And it just turned out that Michael Biehn, who played Hix in Aliens, will actually be at Sci-Fi World. That's pretty cool. We have no idea. We haven't talked to him. It's just complete coincidence. So it's not planned by us at all. But maybe we'll see if we can grab him or something. But
if I were a Swedish fan, I'd be there with a silver pen that you could sign my book.
Exactly. So that would be very cool. So who knows? We'll try to make something happen with him. And in any case, we'll definitely, you know, be there, which is, nice in itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gives you a great jumping point or starting point to start up a conversation with him. That's for sure.
Yeah. So. Could exactly. Take your RPG and have him sign that. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's about all the time that we have for this session. Do you have any more questions, Matthew?
Oh, I just have one more question, but it might be a bit too complex.
Go ahead.
Let's do the really simple one, actually. Tales from the Loop and Things from the Flood are both player-facing. in that it's the players that roll dice, the GM doesn't. The other games, the GM rolls the dice quite a lot. What is it for Vessen? Is that a player-facing game like those two, or do the GMs get to roll dice occasionally?
Yeah, it's generally a player-facing game in the same way, because it's kind of structured in the same way as Tales and Things. So it's closer to that in that regard.
Excellent.
Right. I did have a follow-up, but we'll save that for next time.
We've got okay. Sure.
All right, folks. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say thank you to Thomas and thank you to Matthew for joining me. I want to thank everybody that tuned in live. I appreciate everybody that does. Again, if you haven't hit the subscribe button, please hit the subscribe button. We're almost to 2,000 subscribers, which is awesome. And I really appreciate everybody that has embraced everything that we do here on the show. And I love being able to help, you know, bring more notice to all these excellent folks that are putting some really top-notch games into the market, especially the folks at Free League, because, you know, like I said, they're one of my favorites at this point.
They're just lovely people.
They are. They're just
thank you.
We just love giving them as much support as we can. So make sure to hit that like button down below. Go check out the Coriolis Effect podcast, and also check out, or not the Effect podcast. It's we rebranded. I'm sorry,
new
Matthew.
New brand.
and make sure to check out the Kickstarter in the description of this video. That's going to do it for our session. Remember, winning shouldn't be the only victory condition when you get to the table. We'll see you next time.